Luke, and we'll be over in chapter number 13, Luke chapter 13. As we've been making our way through the book of Luke, it's been a while, but it's been good, hasn't it? It's just been a blessing. Last time we preached out of the book of Luke, we looked at the idea of what side of the door are you on? This morning we'll be in verse number 31, and Brother Kyle, I'm going to have you hand out some paperwork, if you would, sir. Yep. Morning notes here. Brother Scott, did you get my emails? Praise the Lord. No, you weren't going to get them last week because I decided I wasn't going to give them to you. Luke chapter 30. Brother Scott and I are going to audition for the two old guys in the Muppets. You remember them that used to set up in the thing? And I think Brother Scott and I, we could do that job. Oh, hallelujah. Luke chapter 13. God's been good, and I praise the Lord. Got a little sunlight going on out there. A little bit of a reprieve from the rain. We've gotten a lot of rain, haven't we? We were coming through 127 heading northbound, and down there where you get off right after the Trowbridge Road, you get off there to Michigan, they had water down in there, and they had to shut it off, and I was amazed, you know, the great sewage system of Lansing, Michigan, the rainstorm, and we got a lot of rain, though, y'all, we did. I'm not going to put it all on the city, but praise the Lord for the rain, by the way, because I think a lot of it was garden-growing rain, grass-growing rain, flower-growing rain, and April showers bring May flowers, and ain't that good? Get your hands in them. By the way, if you don't get dirt under your fingernails, there's something wrong with you. I don't get an amen on that. Y'all, I tell you what, you want to have some fun, go get some dirt under your fingernails. I'm telling you, get it in there with the worms and everything. Yeah, whatever. Luke chapter 13, look at verse 31 with me this morning. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 31. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees. Boy, look out. Just when you're trying to do something for God, just when you're trying to live right, just when you're trying to learn and be educated by the Holy Spirit of God, there always comes somebody along, don't they? In chapter 13, we've seen the Lord Jesus do miracles. We've heard Him preach messages. What side of the door you're on that we looked at? The fact that if you're saved, you're on the right side of the door. But if you're not saved, you're on the outside looking in. And I say to you again this morning, know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. And know that if you're saved, you're eternally sealed. Amen. Nothing that you or the devil can do to stop that from happening. Although, that doesn't mean you get to live life however way you want. You ought to live life as one of the king's kids, not as one of the devil's kids. And with that in mind, he says there in verse number 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, oh yeah, they've always got to give God the peace of their mind. Look at what they give him. Get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. See, they're not gutsy enough to say, if you don't get out of here, we're going to kill you. Oh no, we're going to lead you over to the magistrate, to the government. And Jesus, and by the way, the Jew to this day does not follow Jesus. Matter of fact, they have a hatred for Jesus. Now there are thankfully those Jews that have been saved. And they're called a messianic Jew. They follow after the Messiah, not after Moses. See, you're in Israel, you either follow after Moses or you follow after the Lord Jesus. Now there are those who've decided as Jews not to follow anything. But here, you've got these Pharisees showing up. Get out! Well, I don't know about you, but I've experienced that. Right here in this church. I remember back in 2011, there was a lot of struggles and things going on. Because there were those that wanted to rule the church. And then they got it in their mind that, well, David, we just don't like you. Get out! They said that to you? Well, they did that in a roundabout way. But instead, what happened was God removed them. And when God goes to removing things, as we saw in Exodus chapter 34, it gets rough. But thankfully, the Spirit changed overnight in our church. And we huddled together and went to praying. And in 13 years, we've watched God do a wonderful work. Is every pew filled? No. I'd love to see the pews filled. But we're living in that time of the great falling away. And what's a real shame to me is how that even preachers are a part of the great falling away. Christians have decided to fall away. There's no need of God right now. As long as I can work 60, 70 hours a week and make $25 and $30 an hour, I don't need God until you have a health problem or you have a financial problem. For those of us who have very, very little and are faithful to God, I believe God is honored and blessed by that. And I'm going to tell you right now, friends, He's watching over you. There in Psalms, as I preached today, I'm reminded, I believe it's about Psalm 81 and verse 10. He says, I brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Boy, I'm so glad He looks out for the poor and needy, aren't you? And there's times I don't like being part of that poor and needy. But it sure is great and wonderful to watch God fulfill and to sustain and to help me and bless me. God's so good to us. He mentions, though, this crowd. And by the way, this is a freebie. Y'all ready? This is for free. I was been reading and thinking about this. Was this them showing up and saying, hey, get out because Herod's coming to kill you? Were they truly concerned about his life? Probably not. And you kind of see that in the way it's written, get thee out. Go on, get. You know, that's what our flesh likes to do with the things of God. If we're not careful, that's what our flesh does when we can't see our prayers answered. What do? You just keep praying. You just keep praying. You don't ever stop praying. He says, get thee out. Now, verse 32. And he said unto them, I love the way the Lord answers this. Go ye and tell that fox. Now, immediately my mind went back to the Old Testament thought of the little foxes that spoil the vine. I tell you, I would love to have a garden, but we got enough deer around here, I think they'd eat up all the garden. Them pesky foxes, they do this. And if you got a chicken farm, you do not want to have possums around. But isn't that what the world is like? They want to come in and spoil everything and ruin everything rather than help anything. And it's, by the way, it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. It's just evil versus God. That's why we have the destruction, the corruption that we have. You know, that 300-year-old person that's getting Social Security. That's been there for years. There's so much corruption now, even Elon Musk has had to step aside for fear of his life. Why? Because the evil one wants to destroy them. And I just pray that you haven't voted for them. I'm just telling you that now. Somebody said, what do you vote with? Word God. Isn't it crazy they've sent money to different places for Isn't it crazy they want to pay for operations that aren't needed? You know what gets me is the argument about whether a male who thinks he's a female, but yet he still has male body parts and wanting to be in women's sports. That ought not even be, but you know what that is? That's just noise to keep people from hearing the gospel. The corruption that's going on, that's what we're dealing with in verse number 31. So the Lord says, go ye. You tell this fox, you tell that fox, behold, you think you can come kill me? Behold, I cast out devils. I don't think Herod or even these Pharisees have ever cast out devils. I haven't. I tell you what, I've been in some places I know the devil was very present. But in those places where the devil's very present, Jesus is even more present. And that's what keeps us safe. I know I've had the hair on the back of my neck raised a few times. But I sure am glad about that time that happens. The Lord Jesus puts his arm on my shoulder and says, and it reminds me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He mentions here, he says, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. I've done them yesterday. I've done them today and I'm going to do them tomorrow. Matter of fact, he even makes mention to his death, burial, and resurrection here. And the third day, do you notice that? Shall be perfected. He can say from the cross, it is finished. Look into that tomb he's fixing to come out of. You understand that? It is finished. Salvation is finished in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You don't need water to wash your sin away. But what we do need is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ of his blood on that old cross. He literally dying, they carried him down, got him ready for the burial chamber, put him in a borrowed tomb, and he left it as he found it. You ever thought about that? They didn't even move the rock. They didn't do anything. How did he get out of that grave? Well, he's God. I wouldn't even try to figure it out. If I were you, I wouldn't even think about how he got out of there. It don't matter. He got out of there. So it was perfected that third day. But he's also mentioning, hey, Herod. And he's saying this to these Pharisees. These Pharisees are telling him, get out. I bet there's some others that are listening. How about Brother Peter, James, and John? Now, what I hate about this whole thing in these chapters that it precede the beating of our Lord and the death of our Lord is the very ones, even his disciples, are listening here, and they fixing to abandon him. Over the years, I've seen Christians abandon this church and the other churches that we've been a part of. I've seen people abandon Jamie and I that promised, we're in the ministry with you. But because of fleshly lusts, they abandon the work of God. They haven't abandoned me, but they've abandoned God. You know what's really funny? They try to abandon God so that God can't see them. But they forget that the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. You all understand that? You ain't getting out of the sight of God. Now, with that, he mentions today and tomorrow, I cast out devils. You ain't doing that. Y'all been watching me do it. You all know. I'm going to tell you what, friends. The Lord Jesus is based. You all know that I am God, but you refuse, as you always have, to follow. In verse number 33, nevertheless, I like this. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. He's now also talking about his resurrection again. If you're dead, you don't walk too good. Just want y'all to know that. Matter of fact, I think it's pretty neat, Brother Josh. As his resurrection, the dead do get up and walk. Could you imagine the hair on the back of your neck? Great Grandma Brown, what you doing out of that grave? You've been gone since the 1980s. Whoa, did you all see Uncle Leroy? Man, he looked good in that suit he got up out of the grave in. It looked like he brushed himself off. Could you imagine, Sister Dawn? Mama, what are you doing here? You know, his resurrection is a picture of where we'll be one day. That is, if you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Victory's won. There is coming a day. That's a good choice, fellas. Just the guy playing the bass and singing wasn't the best. We just had to work on it. I was a weak link in that. Do you know, beloved, the Lord Jesus is the only one who has walked every day through the history of this world. He mentions here, he says, I walk today and tomorrow. Verse 34, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. God had come to them to help them, but they killed them. And stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I gather thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Everything God did for them, they still didn't want him. This mother hen's trying to take care of all her chicks and doing everything she can with food, you know, going to pick up worms in the morning for them. Brought them water, kept their clothes on them, and yet they still would not, he says. I want you all to know this. Now, you're saying, well, that was Israel, and that's the Jew. No, that's human nature. That's who you and I are at the core without God. Right. Now he mentions here, O Jerusalem, and how that they had killed the enemies. Verse 35, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Destroyed. Anarchy is going on here. Bound for an eternal hell. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time is come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's a future. Amen. There's a time of coming that I believe. I thought when I was young, the Lord Jesus was going to return. I didn't think I'd see the age of 50 with all that was going on in this world. Of course, in 1948, many of the churches and Christians thought he was coming because Israel had reorganized as a nation. It is amazing to me how God has used the United States of America. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason why the United States of America is not destroyed is because God has used this instrument to protect Israel. You know what gets me, though? It amazes me how many Jews live in America and they want to vote the way they vote. But that goes back to human nature. Anything righteous, anything that makes sense, is not what the lost man or lost woman wants. I mean, Kamala Harris even said when the one individual yelled out at her, one of her last meetings, Jesus is Lord, she said, you're at the wrong, you're in the wrong crowd. But that's who they are. And you know what's crazy? There are believers in churches that will vote for them to be in office and then wonder why billions of dollars have gone the directions that they have. You know that the Pentagon still can't account for over $4 trillion? Where'd it go? What machine is it building? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, the Lord Jesus is still walking. He is the only one that has ever walked through the history of this world or any world. This morning, walking alive through history. Now, we've all seen the idea, and Pastor Charlie used to talk about it a lot. History is his story. History, and it is amazing how many politicians do things to be in the history books. Yeah. Kamala Harris can say she's the first female vice president. Of course, Hillary wanted to say she was the first. She wanted to say that she was the first female president. Barack, all he wanted to be was the first black president. They're not worried about you and me. They could care less about you and I. But there's one who walks through history, past, present, and future, that cares a lot about you. He cared so much about you, he decided, I'm going to come to earth. I'm going to grow up as a baby and grow up and preach and teach. And then he allowed his creation to beat him. He allowed his creation to hang him on a cross. He allowed his creation to kill him. Try to anyway. But the Bible says he gave up the ghost. There's no man that can take his life. You know what he decided to do? This one they hate so much. Come out of the grave. That way he's still walking alive through history. He's walking alive through history, and we can see it from cover to cover. If you think of the history of Adam and Eve, I see Adam and Eve right here. Male and female. Every one of us has got a mom. I can tell you right now, us in here and in this world, there's no such thing as two dads and two moms. I get a kick out of it when I hear of a lesbian couple that want a child, so they seek out a man for the seed. Wait a minute. I thought if two women were together and it was righteous, why wouldn't you all be able to procreate? And then they want to bring up this African frog that can do this and that. Are you kidding me? God never intended that. Can you imagine how it breaks his heart to see his creation doing what he's doing? Well, let's think about some other things in Genesis that are here today. The old preacher used to talk about the dove that Noah sent out that never come back. And how that dove floated through history looking for a place to land. And that dove was saw David and saw Moses. And that dove saw the prophets of the Old Testament, the debauchery of Israel. Saw God's wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. saw the giant come down as that dove is flying along. And in the book of Matthew, to watch that dove find a place to find its rest that day when the Lord Jesus was baptized. That's history. Y'all realize that your Savior, the one you pray to, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you learn about, do y'all understand it? That all throughout history, He's had His hand in on it. He's had His hand in on feeding Elijah, feeding Moses and the children of Israel. He's had His hand in on helping the rock go right straight through the forehead of Goliath. He's protected Elisha with angels out on the hills. That's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus allowed manna to come down. And of course, they said, what is it? Probably the best food they ever had. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us it's angels' food. He's walking throughout history even to this day. And He's the only one that has. I get a kick out of these folks that want to be in the history books. Well, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but according to my Bible, this old earth's going to burn up. Yeah. So wherever your name's at, it's going to get burned up. You know why your name really isn't important? That's important to God, and it's important to me, and it's important to us together. But your name cannot save. Your name does not deliver. Your name does not wash sin away. But there's one name. This very one who's walking throughout history, that they're telling him to get out. You know what's very shameful today? We know that the politician is told God to get out of politics. This idea of separation of church and state is a lie. And if you believe it, then I got some swamp land in the middle of the desert out in Arizona I'd like to sell you. Amen. Amen? I got some desert in the middle of the Gulf of America. Did y'all catch that? I got some desert land in the middle of the Gulf of America I'd like to sell you. Is you've been fooled. And you've let them fool you. Because I can tell you now, Jesus Christ, walking through history to even this very moment. Don't be fooled. Don't let them fool you. I've had some calls lately about this Doge dividend or stimulus check or whatever. When it's in your hand, then you got it. Until then, it's a bunch of talk. And I'm going to tell you what, they like to talk. You know why? Because most of us ain't in the Bible like we should be. So you're either listening to the words of man or you're listening to the Word of God. And the devil would much rather make a bunch of noise as to allow you to hear the truth. Now, the Lord Jesus, again, is the only one. He is. He's the only one. He's walked through history. He saw Paul in the dungeon. If history is correct, which I do not know, but they said that Peter was crucified upside down. We're just going by man's word on that. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we know about Paul's imprisonment. We know about Stephen's martyrdom there in the book of Acts at the hand of a man named Saul. I like that part. So this Lord Jesus that I love and appreciate and worship, as He's walking through the history, He's seated on the throne room of grace. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but at that moment, He's standing up. Y'all with me on this? Y'all awake yet? Do I need to get louder? Well, the reason why, so you have to forgive me because I get loud because Brother Ray's usually in the service falling asleep. So if you want to blame anybody for me getting loud, it's Brother Ray's fault. I have a habit that's going on here. Because now I got to keep Catherine awake. Lord Jesus has walked throughout history. Hey, He's walked throughout you and I's history. I told you last week, 50 years. 50 years now. Have I been to church every day, every time doors open? No. I told you there's about a year and a half where I didn't have my family in church. And I was a fool for it. Because I found out later on that my wife wasn't saved. What would have happened to Jamie if she'd have died in that time I wasn't in the house of God? And I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader. By the way, men, if you're in here, you're the spiritual leader of the house. Husband is. So man up. Stop being the boy that you are. I had a fellow tell me, man, you don't want to call me a boy. I said, stop being a boy. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You need to man up. And I think a lot of times we forget about those things. So walking in his history. Now, Satan and mankind, they deeply desire death. He mentions here in verse 31, the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. You think that's going to scare him? Who put Herod in his position? God. See, God raises him up and puts him down. He, matter of fact, Proverbs tells us he turns that river however way he wants. The river, by the way. Satan and mankind, they deeply desire death. Do you not understand that? If you're watching or here in the room, did you ever understand everything in your life will help someone see the Lord Jesus or not? There are those who are hell-bent on killing people. What did we find about JFK files?
Well, that's a conspiracy.
Remember, the difference between conspiracy and truth is usually about 30 days. I wonder if they did some research and investigation into Martin Luther King, what they would find. I don't think Jesse Jackson and some of them others want that word to come out, or Malcolm X. You know, I don't agree with their doctrine. Matter of fact, I don't believe that Martin Luther King was all that he was from some of the things that I've written or read. That I've read that has been written about him. I don't know if these I just wonder how they really did get killed. Who let in John Wilkes Booth to shoot Abraham Lincoln? Come to find out, he was an old dirty left winger. My point is, this morning, the Lord Jesus is the only one walking through history with any kind of love and compassion and life for all humans. So you have to understand, as I entitled it, walking alive through history, not walking dead through history. The earth and the world is infatuated with the walking dead. And there's a lot of zombies in our world today. I've kidded Miss Jamie. I wished I could be her phone. I guarantee I'd get plenty of hugs if I was her phone. But there's some of y'all that are 10 million times worse. Oh, looky there. Oh, okay, golf has started. Oh, I got something from Meyer. Action need. Okay. Oh, hey, y'all, how you doing? What kind of that's so impersonal. But there are some that will sit in church service and they'll do that.
I go through my email. What kind of email I got? Oh, I got, oh yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing? Now, what kind of professionality is that? There are those that are always on the computer. Mankind is always searching for peace. They're always searching for comfort in something. You know, all you're doing is wasting time. I do it. I like to go through my reels. And I hate cat videos. Miss Karis, I'm sorry, but I think a lot of those cat videos, they make fun of cats, and I don't like that. I love cats. I love the ones at your house. I do. Been around them. But there's some people, loud kids. There's one video I laughed at the first time, and I had to ask Jesus to forgive me. Little boy's got a cape on. He's got his goggles on and his diaper on. He goes, oh-doo-doo, and like he's Superman. Gets to run it and runs right into the door. I laughed the first time too, and then I thought, Lord, please forgive me for laughing. What's wrong with that parent? You know, there's just some stuff, it's like, oh my word, what is going on? Satan and mankind deeply desire death. No judicial court of man ever rightfully judged the Lord Jesus or any of God's prophets. Jerusalem, he mentions here in verse 34, which killeth the prophets. No judicial court of man. Y'all listen to that now. No judicial court of man ever rightfully judged the Lord Jesus or any of God's prophets. God sent his prophet to them to warn them of their wrath and condemnation. That's why you read about in the book of Kings that during a famine, people will eat anything. Went before Solomon, two moms did. They boiled one child and ate it. Well, then Solomon says, all right, well, we'll do that with the other one. And the mom says, no, no, don't do it. And then he said, you give the baby to that mama. They ate the heads of donkeys. And they ate the excrement, the poop of a dove. Dove's dung, the Bible calls it. When you are in famished, you will eat anything, and there's a spiritual famine in America. Yeah. Do you know why our grocery stores are so full with all this food that's killing people? Yeah. They're trying to shake their fist at God and say, we don't care what kind of famine you bring. Nobody's going to go starving. You realize that? Yeah. I remember Brother Ray and I about 15 years ago, we were talking about how, why is it so expensive to eat right and so cheap to eat wrong? They want to kill you. I got a feeling that JFK Jr. is talking a lot about that. RFK Jr., excuse me. But I've been saying that for years. You know, when I got right with God in about 2018 about the diet, at that time I was just shy of 270. Sugar wasn't right. I've been as heavy as 290. Now, I will tell you right now, the doctor's scale was wrong. Now, I had a hoodie on, two other shirts on, had my keys in my... Aunt Jamie was there, had my shoes on, my sweats on, I had all that on. That doctor's scale was wrong because I looked at him, I said, Doc, I'm being honest with you. But before I took a shower in my skivvies, I was such and such. He said, I'll check it. No, you ain't going to check it. Don't even talk to me like that. He said, Dave, we just want to see what kind of weight you have. Because I tell you what, I'm still upset about my fat knee. I know it, Kyle. It's stupid, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you right now, the food system is horrendous. But how about the spiritual food system? Preachers preaching on certain things that they're fighting battles that don't need to be fought. And then they won't fight certain battles because some preacher told them not to. The judicial court of man never rightfully. How about the two witnesses they bring up against the Lord Jesus? How about the other false witnesses that we've seen going against Trump? But that's what the lost man does. Let me say this. No ruler ever truly wanted God's man to flourish. No ruler, no politician, no king, no queen ever wanted the man of God to flourish. You know why John the Baptist lost his head? Herod was mad at him because John the Baptist wouldn't okay a marriage he wanted. Hey, do y'all know why you have Anglican, Episcopalian churches? You know what they are? They're an offshoot of the Catholic Church because the Pope wasn't going to ordain or he wasn't condoning a marriage between Henry VIII and another woman, like his fourth or fifth wife. And England broke away from it. No ruler ever wanted the man of God. And I'm not saying the Roman Catholic Church is a man of God. I use that illustration to point out to you that human nature never wants God to flourish. No ruler ever. How about no politician ever truly wants God's truth to rule? We see that in our school system. Transvestite reading time. Oh my goodness. That's almost like the devil himself coming to the pulpit to read God's word. The opposite that it is. Oh my. Are you kidding me? But thankfully the Lord Jesus, he's walking alive through history. Not only mankind's history, but my history. And your history. This August, August the 6th, I'll celebrate 50 years of being saved. And you know what, babe? Other than you, listen, It was so wonderful last week. Y'all celebrated it with me. I talked to a couple preachers and they didn't think it was any big deal. To me, it's a big deal. Matter of fact, honey, I love our anniversary in November. We got an anniversary coming up in June. See, about June the 3rd, 39 years ago, there's this girl cleaning up at the CAPS building. And me and the director walked in there. I was somebody. Me and old brother Scott walked in there and Jamie's in there. And I met her and I already knew Joy was there. Was Susan Shatler there? I can't remember. And I already know she, because those two girls, they liked me. They thought I was cute. Anyhow, I didn't even know who she was. Met her. I remember meeting you. I remember that. Matter of fact, first time I met her, we had gone over to their church for a Valentine's Day. I can't tell that story. I better not tell that one. There was one table where there was like six or seven guys and one girl. That was her table. Was that the days of Andy Lehman? Yeah, that was. All right. Anyhow, she's turning red. I'm so sorry, honey. Is that, what do you think, guys? Is that good? No. I was sitting at the table with Pastor Charlie and Mama Peggy. Because I didn't know anybody. That's who I was. If I didn't know you, I mean, I don't mind being friendly and all, but we were in a place, and I was very young then. Yeah. You know, I kind of was until you put me in the pulpit to lead singing, and I got over it, you know. Where was I at in the message? I like anniversaries. I like the anniversary of taking a Dear Jim letter to the post office. She said, you're going to leave that alone. But I can tell you now, I can remember the first Dear David letter. The week of, I remember. Do you remember? You know what? That week, my brother Bill got saved at camp. And then I got that letter. It said, meet me at the bed race. I like you. You're so handsome. Your muscle is so, just makes my heart go pitter-patter. Meet me at the big red swing if you feel the same. And then I met her at the big red swing, and we've been swinging ever since. Anniversary this August, the last Sunday, be 39 years that I've been taking my girlfriend to church. In November, 38 years I've been married to her. I like anniversaries. I like what God's done in my life. And if y'all want to, I'd like to share them with you. We ought to share those special moments in our life with the people that we love. There's no politician that truly wants God's truth out there. They don't care about those kind of things that God's done for them. But my Lord Jesus has walked not only through mankind's history, but my history for me. I'm going to tell you something, young men. By God's hand, He kept me out of the brothels, the whorehouses. By the grace of God, God kept me out of the drunken gutter. That's how He's walked through history for David. You might want to consider, how has He walked through history for you? Although my dad and I had I just don't even know how to describe that relationship. Mom had sent a little bit of money, and I tithed on it. And, of course, I want her taken care of. David, there's more. Mom, I want you to take care of you and make sure you're fine before you do anything else. Going to physical therapy. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. Got a letter in the mail from Mom with a little check in it. And was paying for my physical therapy. See, the Lord Jesus promised when I got saved that I was His and He'd take care of me. He's walking through my history alive with me. Are y'all with me yet? That ought to grip your heart. Just how good God is to give John and Becky Garver. I got to find that picture. Would you help me find that picture? The Lord Jesus is walking alive, not walking dead through history. He's walking alive for me to walk alive. I don't walk on my own. Matter of fact, I found that out the hard way with this old knee. I couldn't get out of bed. I had Matthias getting me ice in my water and Tommy putting ice in my water and Sister Jamie, Sweet Cakes over there taking care of me. My right foot gets, I don't know what it is, it's just my right foot that gets dry skin. Even this morning, she put some lotion on my feet and put my socks on for me. If that don't bless your heart, I don't know what's going to bless your heart. He's walking alive for me to walk alive. He's walking alive to save souls. Amen. By the way, if he's not alive, you're not saved. He's walking alive to see others saved, other folks saved, just like you and I've been saved. Get out of there. Y'all hearing me? Yeah, I pull and all of them come out. Y'all, are y'all awake today? I hope you walk away different with some revival in your heart. He's walking alive with you. He's walking alive to save souls. He's walking alive to bless souls. Do you know that he blesses the saved and the unsaved? He does. He's walking alive to even help the unsaved man. And I'll tell you right now, you go ahead and glorify King Jesus. And even if they don't want to hear it, sooner or later, they're going to come around and say, you know what, Aunt Dawn? You kept mentioning Jesus and I didn't like it. But you know what? Can you tell me more? That's going to happen. There's going to be others that will come to you that just hated your guts. But when their daddy dies, they'll be calling you. Amen. In February, I had that happen. A good friend of mine lost his daddy. He called me just out of the blue. Dave, I already know what stuff you're going to tell me, but Dad died. I missed Dad. His dad was a blessing to me. Call me brother. Walking alive to bless souls. Hey, he's walking alive to rule as king. King Jesus. There's a lighthouse on a hillside. And in that chorus, for King Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, he has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? He's a light.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, Lord Jesus is walking alive, not walking dead. Walking alive to judge as ruler. Now, the Bible's very clear about judge not lest you be judged. But if you don't judge with compassion, you're not doing right either. You don't judge to condemn. And to tell you the truth, get out the mirror of the word and you might have to do some judgment calls on how you look. But in this, the Lord Jesus is the judge. He's the judge and the jury and the executioner. Yep. Amen. Walking alive to judge. It ain't your business. You know what your business is? Give gospel. Yep. Stop trying to give them everything you know, because in reality, all you know will fit in a thimble. Amen. Hey! Amen. Now, maybe in comparison to me, you know more. But have you ever thought about making your comparison of how much you know as to how much God knows? That's humbling. That'll submit you. Well, the Lord Jesus is walking alive, not dead. He's walking alive to defeat the enemy. By the way, friends, he's already defeated the enemies. For those of you who forget English, id means in the past. Before I was born. Matter of fact, before any of y'all was born. To tell you the truth, even before Adam and Eve were created, he'd already won the battle. Well, I don't know what this has done for you, but the Lord Jesus is walking alive through history. Father, I pray that this message has been a help. I believe it's been an encouragement. I pray it's been an encouragement. I don't know what you're doing in the hearts of our folk, but I know what you've done in my heart. Thank you. Thank you for looking out for me every day of my life. I ask you to continue to do that, please. Even when my old flesh gets stupid, it don't want your help. Dear God, even now, would you protect me from me? Lord Jesus, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if God's dealing with your heart, let him. Does it thrill your heart to know that he's walking throughout history for you? Have you seen how he's walked out through history for you? What an amazing Lord. If God's dealing with your heart, the altars are open. Come on. You know, if we're a little bit more thankful for what the Lord Jesus is doing, it might help us in all of our relationships. God's dealing with your heart. You come on.